on buying our first
Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and glory.
Get the glory out of our lives. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Amen, amen, amen. I am the host of They Overcame Broadcast, Billy Burns, along with my husband, Albert Burns, and we are just here to give God the praise and for him to get the glory out of our lives. Good morning, baby.
Good morning, sweetheart, and good morning to everyone that's listening in today. God bless you, and just happy to be here amongst both the land of the living and even more so just with you on this morning. Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm glad to be here, too. I got so sick yesterday, and I don't know what was happening anyway. I'm here, and I'm here in Jesus' name, and I feel much better than I did on yesterday, so I'm thanking God for that. Honey, you want to open this up for prayer? I see that our guest is on. I'm so excited to hear from Sister Sandra Murdoch about how the Lord has rescued her. He rescued all of us, and we all have a story to tell. And I'm so thankful that she decided that she wanted to tell her story. She wants to share, you know, so that she can help whomever. So, honey, you want to open up the prayer, and then I'm going to open up her mic.
Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you this day in thanksgiving, awe of who you are, because, Lord, you are holy, you are mighty, you are everything, hallelujah, you are our all in all. There's none like you in all the earth and all of heaven, none that can be compared with our God. And we just worship you right now. We give you glory and praise for who you are, for what you've done, for every promise, hallelujah, for every word that you've given us, because we know your word is true and it shall not come back void. We thank you, Lord God, for life. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for peace. We thank you for health. We thank you, Lord God, for having our right mind. We thank you for this opportunity, even right now, to hear your testimony of your saints and how that we even have the means of spreading it throughout this globe, throughout this planet. Father, you're just so good. You're awesome and mighty. And Lord, we give you the praise right now. And Lord, we just pray your blessings upon this day, upon this time, these moments that we spend together celebrating your goodness, celebrating your power, celebrating who you are. Hallelujah. We thank you for our guest and his graciously consented to give her testimony to the world, letting the world know of your goodness, your saving power, your delivering power. In the name of Jesus, we pray that it goes out and these words would just be healing for some, deliverance for some, encouragement for those who need encouragement. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let these words be words of hope and salvation, that someone will hear and know that you are God and that you are able to deliver them, and that they will turn to you in the name of Jesus, and that there will be in that corner of the world another even like a mini revival, Lord God, because of the broadcast today. In the name of Jesus, we pray for this ministry, They Overcame. We pray for this ministry, New Destiny Ministries. We pray for our overall host, Evangelist Bernard. Hallelujah. Just bless her. Let that ministry continue to flourish, Lord God, as she has moved it according to your direction. back to the city of New Orleans and let there just be blessing in that city because of her obedience to you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. Wake up those that you would have to tune in. Cause them to dial in. Cause them to find us on the internet. Cause them, Lord God, to hear the word of the Lord today. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, baby. Thank you for that prayer. We're not going to belabor broadcasting anymore. I'm going to open up the line. Sister Murdoch, are you there, my sister?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Blessed, blessed, blessed.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're so happy to have you on the broadcast this morning to tell the world just what God has done in your life and just how he has, I said a little earlier, rescued you. He's rescued all of us, but all of us don't want to tell the story, but I'm so glad that you have decided to tell your story. I open up the broadcast and say, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And I'm so glad that you have decided that you wanted to exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, now before you get into your story and your whole story, your life is a testimony. That's what I always say. But just tell us about Shirley Murdoch. Are you married? Are you, what's the name of your church, your pastor?
Okay. First of all, before I get started, I just really would like to say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Yeah.
And I am Sandra Murdoch, and I am married to Richard Murdoch, and we reside at St. Mark Baptist Church in Little Rock, Arkansas. And Pastor Philip Horner is our senior over there. Mm-hmm. I have four wonderful children, and I'm just blessed.
Amen. I have four boys.
I have in all, including my son, kids, children, which is ours, we have seven in all. And it's four girls and then it's three boys.
Amen. Four girls. So people say they can't imagine how I raised four boys. But I think girls are harder to raise. But I don't know because I never had any girls and I haven't really been around any girls. It's so funny. I have a granddaughter now and she just tickles me. She's bossy. She's two. She's bossy and she's very direct. I'm just in awe of her because she's so different from the boys. Amen. Amen. So you were born and raised in Arkansas.
Yes, ma'am.
I've never been to Arkansas.
You got to come down here and visit.
I have a little niece that lives down there. She and her husband, pastor down there, Bishop Brimson is his name. And I do have to come down. I think they're in Little Rock. As a matter of fact, I'm sure they're in Little Rock. I'll have to come down and visit. I do.
Yeah.
Now, is that where that's where Charlene is also, right, Little Rock?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Amen. And Charlene is one of the first guests, and as I was telling you, this is our third year doing the broadcast, and Charlene was one of our first guests, and she just gave such an awesome testimony on how the Lord rescued her and brought her to a place now where she is helping as many women as she can. And I know that you do the same thing.
Yes. Yes,
amen. Amen. Well, you have an hour, so tell as much as you want to tell. And if we have some callers that call in and want to ask you questions, we'll open the lines for them to ask you some questions if we have some. But until then, you can give us your testimony.
As I was saying, I always have to give praise to God because he's been so good to me. He's just continued to bless me over and over and over and over again. I just really would like to start off with the childhood.
Yes.
My childhood is very important to me. For one of the reasons, I have good parents. I always had good parents. My mother, she raised us up in church, Pentecostal. Under the admiration and the fear of the Lord, always, you know, we was rooted and grounded in, you know, in the word of God, you know, in church all the time, you know, Sunday, Wednesday, always in church, had us on the front row. And as I was growing up, I mean, life was really good, you know, and I began to want to be disobedient, you know. You know, when you get to an age and you know, and you want to start doing things on your own, you know, got away from the church, you know, started, you know, getting caught up in the world, you know. You know, my mom always used to tell me, you know, God never leave you, never forsake you, you know, he will be there with you until the end of time. You know, and all of that, you know, she used to always tell us that. And, you know, and I never just really, you know, she used to always say that, you know, and a lot of times, you know, in actuality, her God was her God. And, you know, and I felt like, you know, she just wanted us, you know, to want her God, you know. And so I became very disobedient. I mean, I started, you know, hanging out with people that didn't have no hanging out, you know, and hanging out in, you know, in the hood and doing things I had no business doing. And, you know, and the age of my senior year got pregnant, you know, and that led to something else. And that's when the door opened up for everything else. Met, you know, as I was coming up, met my, like I said, my son's father. And that was my first love, and I loved him. Got pregnant, he left me. And so, you know, and I was like, wow, you know. Had to end up moving back home with my parents because I moved out. You know, I wanted to be with him, and end up coming back, and I met my first husband. And when I got married, you know, my mom just didn't really, they didn't really care for him, you know, and they said that, you know, well, my mom being so anointed, you know, she was just like, Sandra, you know, you shouldn't do that, you know. It says when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. You know, and we have to be careful, you know. And, but I wouldn't listen to her, and I sneaked off, and I got married. And I thought he was just this wonderful man. But with that, you know, things started happening. You know, he was a drug dealer, and he was so abusive to me. He used to beat me for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you know, and I didn't understand it. But my parents had always been together. My dad has always been a provider for us. He's protect us. He's tried to, you know, he put that shield around us. You know, he showed me what it was to be a father, to be a man of God. You know, all those things he had led by example because he's always taken care of us. He's provided for our family, you know. He served in the military. You know, my dad was, he still is. He's the best father that any that I could ever ask for. As a matter of fact, I am a daddy's girl. And I'm so grateful for that. I know that I'm a daddy's girl. You know, I know that. And with that being said, my husband, my first husband, was a drug dealer. Oh, and, you know, when the beatings began to come, one of the friends introduced me to drugs, you know, because it was there. But, you know, I didn't do it. I was seeing her do it. But to get into the story, you know, as life began to go on, you know, me and my husband, you know, we used to go to different places. And I loved him in spite because, you know, I was always in the church, you know. And, you know, and the word of God said, for better, for worse, for richer. But, see, I didn't know that. You know, I just thought I could fix him, you know, that, you know, it's going to be okay. If I just stay in this marriage, he's going to change. And then, you know, but I couldn't change him, you know. And as we began, the, you know, the beatings got worse, you know, and I began to use drugs, you know. He introduced me to crack cocaine. We went out to California. It was, you know, we went to, you know, to buy drugs, you know, and you know, for him, you know, he was a dealer. And at that time, you know, there was no one. I was the tester, you know. And then I really found something that made me feel good at that time, even though I didn't want to. But I was there, and I knew the kind of man he was. He had told me if I didn't do it that he would leave me and sacrifice. He would kill me, drop my body off in Mexico, and when they found me, my body would be so decomposed that they wouldn't be able to identify me. So I did it. And as I began to do it, I liked it. Because, see, when I did it, it numbed me. I didn't feel. So when he would come home and beat me, I would use drugs to cover it up. You know, and as life began to transpire, you know, and I began to take the, I didn't have to steal them because they were there. You know, and my addiction, it was increasing. You know, it was progressing. You know, when he beat me, I would get high. Because when I got high, I didn't have to feel that hurt, that pain that I was feeling. Because I always wondered, why would this man do this to me? I thought he loved me. And I remember the last, well, you know, one of the first times when he had beat me and he had did so much damage, and my mom had to take me to the hospital. I never remind yourself, I never told my parents that he was beating me. And as we went to the my mother told them, they said, what has happened? They thought maybe I was in an accident. And he was saying, you know, and my mom said her husband did this. So, and I didn't understand how did she know? And she said, my prayer is, God, I don't want to be the last to know what's going on with my children. She said, I've been knowing what's been going on. But see, I didn't want to take that and tell my mother what this man was doing to me because he was my husband and I loved him. And so after then, I still went back into the marriage. I went back because that was my husband. And I began to constantly use drugs, and then he found out that I was using drugs. And
he found out that you were using drugs?
Yes, he found out I was using drugs because one day I stayed gone so long, and he couldn't find me. And he exited, saw the car over to Janice, a friend of ours' house. And he came there. And there I was. I couldn't hide it. He just could tell that what I was doing. I still stayed in the marriage, and he began to hide things. So he was taking the drugs with him, so I began to take the money. But I remember the last beating when he left me on the floor in front of my son, and I was bleeding. He had beaten me so bad. And at that time, I had lost so much blood, and I went to the hospital. And as he took me to the hospital, you know, and the people came out at that time, I said I was going to tell it. You know, I had made up my mind. I just couldn't do this anymore. And I could just, you know, see my son crying for me, and I'm trying to reach him as I'm laying on the floor in a puddle of blood. And as I'm reaching, you know, for him, I was really fainting at that time. He took me to the hospital, and they rushed me to the back, and I just told him that he had did it. As they came out to get him, he was gone. I guess he knew I was going to tell it. At that point, I had my mom and them came. I had to have plastic surgery because he had beat me so bad that, you know, it was with a box of bullets that the buckshots were still in my skin and they had to get it out. So they did plastic surgery and, you know, and I went back home to stay with my parents. And at that time, I did not turn back. But I was still using drugs. But after I came out of surgery and I was at home, you know, with my mother, and I looked in the mirror and I was all bandaged up, looking like Dr. X. And I began to ask my mother, you know, I was crying. I didn't, I saw she was standing behind me because I, at that moment, I was just wondering, what have I done? What have I actually done to deserve this? You know, and I cried and I hit the floor and I remember my mother coming in there holding me, telling me, you know, she said that, Sandra, you know, God is a jealous God. You know, we can't put anything before him, not nothing. She said, not our kids, not no one. She said, and it wasn't that I didn't like him, I just, his spirit wasn't right. You know, and she said, you know, and I was telling her, all I ever wanted was a husband to love you like my dad loves you and take care of me the way that dad takes care of you. And she began to proceed to tell me, she said, Sandra, one day you're going to have that husband. She said, he's going to look at you. He's going to tell you how beautiful you are. He's going to love that son of yours, and he's going to just love you. She said, I might be dead and gone, but you're going to have that husband one day. She said, but first and foremost, he's going to love God. She said, and she begins, you know, she begins to comfort me at that time. But remember, I'm using drugs, you know, so, you know, at that night, and I never forget that. But as we went on, you know, the drug addiction progressed. I began to want more drugs. Now, remember, after then, I found out I was pregnant with my daughter. My first daughter, and I was using drugs, but I didn't go back. I didn't go back. At the time, my husband, he had got arrested and everything, and he had got locked up and he had got time locked up. So now you have to realize I don't have that support no more with the drug money and the drugs. So now, I wasn't working because I had never worked, you know, and as I began, you know, I began to do things that I said I would never do. I began to hang out in places I had no business hanging out in. I began to go into the stores. I began to steal for my addiction. But, you know, I still didn't think that I was that bad, you know. I began to do things that I never thought I would do, you know. I began to start roaming the streets. I began to start selling my body. You know, I had got into situations and stuff that I know I shouldn't have made it out of. You know, I began to, things began to happen. I began to my parents, you know, I told them, you know, I remember the first time I told them, I said, you know, if you just come and get me and take me away from here, and take me to a drug treatment, if I just get away from here, I'll do okay. I just need a new start, you know, and where I didn't know people. And they began to take me to a place in Fort Smith. And I went there to the drug treatment, but he messed up. My dad, you know, he messed up because he gave me a bus ticket back here when I finished the program. And he said, and gave me $300.
Oh.
But I beat him back to Little Rock, you know, and I was, before you know it, I was walking back up and down the streets, and my grandmother told me, said, I thought you took that girl to treatment. He said, I did. Before. She said, no, you didn't. She back here walking up. I'm looking at her right now because she lived off of 12th Street, and she could see the door. She always kept her door open, and she would sit on the front porch. And it was true, I did. I just wasn't ready. And as I began, you know, the disease just truly progress, you know, my kids, my parents end up raising my children. And I was just really at that point where I was willing to do anything I had to get that drug. And in the midst, I remember I was meeting new people. I was meeting new people, you know, from different people, you know, from different walks of life, you know, but then I began to steal from my parents and my parents put me out, you know, because they couldn't deal with it. I was taken from the house. I was doing things that I had no business doing. You know, and my dad said, you know, I love you. He said, but I love your mama, you know. And he said, there's God, and then there's your mom, and then there's you. She wants you to leave. But he always, like I said, I've always been a daddy's girl. He always said, you can always call me. You can always get in contact with me. My dad was a construction worker. And And, you know, when I got in situations, I would call him. But sometimes he didn't even hear from me. He would come looking for me. You know, he would just want to know, was I okay? And I remember them letting me back into the house. You know, my mom just got so worried, you know, and she just said, I got to let her come back home. I rather, you know, I just, you know, she was worried about me. And I did good for a couple of days or so. But, you know, my addiction, I was an addict. But I didn't know I was an addict. I knew I was doing things I was in denial. You know, I was in denial about my addiction. Because those things, when I grew up, when they asked me in school, what was I going to be? I never wanted to say I was going to be a drug addict, a prostitute. You know, all of that. I had dreams. I always said I was going to be a nurse. I was going to be someone to take care of people because I always loved taking care of people. Because even as I was coming up, you know, it was our neighbors, you know, they were elderly people. I would go over there. I would help out. And I just knew that I was going to be a nurse when I grew up. I didn't think that I was going to be an addict. You know, I didn't say I'm going to be an addict. I'm going to be a prostitute. I said I would be a nurse. But I continue and I met this guy in our addiction. My dad had got sick. They had found out that he had had heart failure, congested heart failure, and he had went in and had open heart surgery. After they thought he wasn't going to make it, but a guy that was in my addiction, and I really liked that, you know, guy, we were really cool. We were like Bonnie and Clyde out there in our addiction. We ran together, you know, he had my back, you know, and he watched me as I was doing the things that I was doing. And, you know, and as I, you know, and we just really became close, you know, we really became close. And after then, you know, I didn't see him for a while, but I continued to use drugs. You know, now my husband, he has got out of prison. I'm not scared of him no more because the drugs just didn't took over, you know. When he saw me and I told him that this was a new millennium, I wasn't scared of him anymore. I told him that I was smoking crack. I wasn't scared of him no more. I mean, I just became bold, you know. I didn't care, you know. I had lost that respect for myself, those mores, all those things, those values that my parents had installed in me. It just had went out the door when I got caught up in the world, you know. And as I began, even in, you know, in my addiction, you know, my mom, she would, when I would go, you come to the house, she would always tell me, she would always say, you know, read, you know, she would tell me to go into the Word of God. She would always tell me to read Daniel. She would always tell me to read, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. She would always tell me to read Job. She would always, the 23rd Psalms, 91st Psalms. You know, even in my addiction, I still would be reading the words. You know, even in those places that I was, you know, people would be like, this girl read, you know, Bible. But I was still listening to my mother. My mother said, because you're going to need that. I didn't know what she was talking about, but I still would read it, just, you know, and at that point. You know, my mom said, and God said, everything, acknowledge him. You know what? And all that you do, you acknowledge him. And I never could understand what she was talking about, you know. And as I began to just, I would just start reading, you know. And I was just reading and I was reading, but then I still was using drugs. So my husband, he decided he didn't want to fool with me no more, you know. And then, remember, I'm going into these stores, I'm stealing, I'm doing whatever it takes to get these drugs. I began to get charges. I began to go, you know, get charges. I was getting caught stealing, doing things that I had no business doing, you know. And going to court, and, you know, now I'm using drugs, so, you know, they have put me on probation. But I'm not going to see these people because, you know, I knew they're going to drug test me, and I knew that I was dirty. You know, it was like you would call it on that vicious cycle when you continue, you know, you just continue to do this drug 24 hours, you know, whatever. And as I began to do this drug, you know, I just, everything went out the window. Didn't care about my children. And I remember my daughter, you know, she's telling me, Mom, I love you. Just stay here. Please don't go. But when people come, I had to go because I had to feed that addiction in me, though I thought I did. End up going to prison, getting time in prison. Got 3 years in prison with two suspended. Now, remind yourself, I didn't care. I went down there and did 4 months. Every time when I was going to jail, my dad would get me out. The judge knew that. Every time he looked at it, he said, I remember the last time when I went to jail, you know, to court. And he said, who is Sammy, you know, who said whoever it was? And I told him, well, that's my father. And he made a bond. He said, well, I'm not going to give you a bond this time. He said, you're going to go to prison. So my mom said, he said, well, who has the children? My mom spoke up and said, I do. I went to prison. I went down there. And I thought that I wanted to turn my life around when I got down there. Because, see, I was in a position to where my daddy couldn't get me out. You know, couldn't nobody get me out. I had to sit there. I mean, I had to sit there literally in jail. You know, I'm in prison, not in jail. I'm in the big house, not the little house. At that time, I began to get in my word. And I remember, you know, my mother planting that seed. The Lord will never leave you, never forsake you. He'll be there with you to the end of time.
Yeah.
As I remember there, you know, and I was in prison and I got into the word. And all those things, God began to bring them to my remembrance. The time is as I was in the church and, you know, the time is, you know, the word. He was bringing it back to my remembrance. And I was so focused. I did 4 months. And when I got out of prison, I was doing really good. I was going to church, got into church. Then I started hanging around them people in them places. Got back out on drugs. Things got worse. I almost lost my life out there. You know, got into a car with the wrong fella. Just, you know, back on doing those things I had no business doing, you know. And in all of that and going through what I had to go through, I still was acknowledging God. You know, my dad and mom were so disappointed in me because I was doing so good. And they thought that I was on the right track. I was doing everything that I was supposed to do. But, see, I was straddling the fence. See, I was walking with God, but I was holding hands with the devil, you know. I'm going to church to satisfy them, but I'm still going around these people, places, and things, doing these things, you know. So eventually, you know, I'm going to do what I love doing, and eventually I love doing drugs, so I went back to what I was doing, what I love doing. And in that time, at that time frame, things began to get worse. I mean, just stuff began to happen. It just, you know, this time, you know, I had did so much, my parents told me, you got to go. You got to go. And they put me out again. So here I am out in the street. And the thing about being out there in the streets, I learned if you don't have nothing to give anybody, they don't want to be bothered with you. As long as you got all the drugs and you got the drugs and you got the money, everybody's your friend. But see, when you don't have nothing, don't nobody want to be bothered with you. They put you out their house. And at that time, my dad had got sick. They found out he had kidney disease. So my mom let me come back home. And it was a guy, like I said, that was out there in the world. Me and him was out there in the world together. And he began to come around. And, you know, he was really trying to reach out to my brother, you know. He was telling my brother, you know, you need to come on to these meetings. You need to get in church and, you know, and all of this stuff. And at the time, you know, I was going to the hospital because my dad was really sick. He wasn't doing well on dialysis and everything. And at that point, and I was like, you know, I wasn't going back to see my probation officer. I was on parole then. I didn't have a probation officer. So then I just said, God, you know, you got to help me, you know. But I still wasn't ready. I still was doing drugs. So, you know, it's just those foxhole prayers. You know, God, just if you get me out of this one, I'm not going to do this no more. Lord, if you just get me home, I'm not coming out. You know, I was just lying to me. And at one point, you know, and my daddy's heart had started messing up again. And he went into the hospital. And at that point, you know, and I was like, Lord, you know, if something happened to my dad, you know, my mom, she got to raise my kids. And so this guy, he kept coming around, and he started taking me to this meeting place. Now, I had knew about treatment, but, you know, I had been to 3 drug treatment facilities, but I had left. You know, my dad had paid for each of them, but I had left, you know, because one was in Fort Smith and 2 was in Little Rock. Every time I had a problem, I told him to call my father. He always would come and get me. But this time something was different, you know, and not. As the man, you know, he came into the surgery room, the surgeon to the doctor, and he said that, you know, he was going to have to do surgery on my dad. He didn't want to do this surgery. And at this time, he said, you know, and I was just, oh, you know, because I love my dad. I'm at that time, you know, and I said, God, you know what? I said, you know, I just want, you know, I'll save my daddy. Don't let my dad go. And God, you know, he saved my daddy. At that time, he saved my dad. And I remember going into that room and, you know, my mom with the praying and everything. And it was just something that was in me. I was like, Lord, you know, I don't know what it is. But I continued to use drugs. And so as my dad got out the hospital, and I never forget, I wanted to do this on my own. I kept, even though I was using drugs, I was like, God, I don't want to get high no more. God, I don't want to get high no more. I can't do this no more, God. I just don't want to get high no more. Now, remember, you, I'm still saying, God, I don't want to get high no anymore, but I'm still using drugs. I'm like, God, please take this from me, but I'm still using drugs. And I never forget, it was December the 1st of 2009. I was over to one of my relatives' house. It was my uncle's house. And we were using drugs. And I had everything, but I was so empty inside. I was so empty. And I just remember hollering and crying out the name of Jesus. I mean, in the midst of everything that I was going through. Hallelujah. I just remember crying out to him. I went into that room. I got up. We were at a table. But I got up and I went into the bedroom. And I began to cry out like I never cried out before. I mean, I began to cry out. I began to call on the name of Jesus. At that moment, I don't know what was going on with me. I remember, and I went to crying out into the name of Jesus. I remember, and I told him, I said, God, you said you'll never leave me, you'll never forsake me, and you know, you'll be there with me to the end of time. I remember, I told him, I said, you know, I remember those things that my mama told me, those Bible scriptures, reading those stories. I said, you know, when Daniel, when he was in the lion's den, and he was in the lion, I said, You didn't let his mouth close on the line. I said, God, I know you're going to deliver me. I began to cry out, and I said, you know, there was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but there was a fourth man in the fire. I said, Holly, yeah. I began to holler out the name of Jesus. I said, God, I said, Job lost everything, but you're a restorer, God. I said, you're a healer, God. I said, you're a deliverer, God. I said, you said in Jeremiah 32:27, you said, behold, I am the Lord thy God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? I said, God, there's nothing too hard for you, God.
Thank you, Jesus. Because
you are mighty God. Oh. I said, God, and I believe you, God. I said, God, and I trust you, God. I said, God, and I lift you up right now, God. And I said, and I know that you're going to take this from me, God. I said, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to do it, God. I said, you said that you hear the cries of the pure, God. Said, and I'm crying out to you, God. I said, I can't take this anymore, God. I said, but I thank you, Lord. I said, because I know that I'm delivered. I know that I'm healed, God. I said, I don't want to do this anymore, God. I said, but I know that you can do it, God. I said, I don't know how to do it, God. I said, but you can do it, God. I said, and I need you, God. And I just remember just crying out, and I cried out, and I cried out. And I remember my uncle telling me that morning when I woke up. I remember I woke up that morning, and I got on my knees. And, I just said, God, you know, I said, I don't know where I'm going to go and what I'm going to do. Because remember, I had just got put out of my parents' house again. I said, but I don't want to use drugs. I said, but I know that I am delivered.
Yes.
And I got up. And I went into the kitchen to fix me something to eat. And I'm just going to tell you how awesome God is. my uncle wanted to do some more drugs, and I told him I'm not doing that no more. And he began to tell me as he went into the room, he just saw it was just a, he said it was so bright and it was so light. He said, and he saw me in there, and he said, and I was talking in all kind of language. He said that it was just so that he had to step back. I knew that was nothing but the Holy Spirit just had me in that moment.
Yes, Lord.
As I got off, told him I didn't want anymore. I told him I was done. I said, I don't want that no more. I said, I want my soul to be saved. As I told him that, I began to sit at the table, and a lady called me from treatment. Remember, the day before, I had been everywhere. Me and the guy that I had been out there in the world with, he wasn't using drugs. People wouldn't let me into treatment. They wanted $3,000, $2,000. I didn't have that type of money. I was an addict, you know. And the one that I could go to, it was Hoover Treatment Facility. They told me their beds was full. I asked them, could I sleep on the floor? He said I couldn't sleep on the floor. But that morning, December the 2nd, see, it was early in that morning. After everything, the lady called me. It was at 8 o'clock. Now, I remind you, I had just got to tell him I didn't want that. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I told him I was through. She said, I have a bed for you, Miss Murdoch. I said, you mean I can come? She said, you can come right now. Glory. I just began to just thank God. I got all my stuff, and I went to treatment. I called my friend who came and got me out and took me to treatment. I went to treatment. For the first time, I did this for myself. I didn't need my daddy to take me. I didn't need no, I did this for myself. It was something that I did for myself. And as I got into treatment, and you know, and I began to look around, and I said, God, I said, I don't know how I'm going to do this or what you're going to do. I said, but I'm trusting you. I said, I don't know who I'm going to hang around, what I'm going to do. Remember, remind yourself, all I ever hung around was drug addicts, prostitutes, all of that. You know, that's all I had ever been around because I had became that. You know, and the hardest thing was for me to do was look in the mirror to look at me, to look at what I had become, you know, to look at, because I didn't, you know, for God, you know, and I began to get in that word, and he took me, I said, well, God, what am I going to do? And he took me to Romans 12:1-2, when he said, I beseech you, my brother, by the mercies of God, this is your spiritual act of worship. He said, do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That way you can test and prove what God's perfect and pleasing will for your life. At that moment, I said, okay, God. He was leading and guiding me. I was getting the word every day when I was in treatment. And it was just so awesome that he sent me to a faith-based treatment. He was just so awesome. He just kept leading and guiding me as I began, and as I got into treatment. And I was in that word, and I began to stay in that word, and I trusted in that word. Now, treatment teaches us to do the right next thing. Now, remember, I hadn't seen these parole folks. You know, I'm on parole. You know, I'm using drugs. And I called my parole officer, and he called, and, you know, and he told me to come down there, and he told me that he was going to violate me and send me to a techno-violators program. And, remind you, I'm in treatment. I'm doing the right next thing. It didn't matter. But they didn't have a bed in the techno-violators program. So I haven't left treatment because my mind was made up. God delivered me. I knew that he had delivered me that night. And I knew that he wasn't going to take me no place where he wasn't going to keep me. I trusted God the whole way. So I'm still in treatment now. I didn't finish treatment. I finished residential. I went into outpatient where I could be able to work and all of that, and I had got a job at Wendy's. And the one weekend, I went to go get my nails done, and this lady told me that you're finna go through something. She said, I hate when this happens, but I'm finna tell you, God wants you to trust him. And she was crying, but she was prophesizing to me. She said, so I'm letting you know, just trust God. Now I go to the parole officer, and so he said he's going to lock me up, that they're going to have a bed in 2 more months for me. So at this time, I was still in the Word. And just to tell you how good God is, you know, as I mean, now I'm seeing a man. Remember, I'm married. The guy that I was seeing, we got into a relationship. He's married. God spoke to me and told me, you know, that I had to let that relationship go. He said, you're married, and he's married, and he's not honoring that. God, yeah, he was speaking to me. He was leading me and guiding me. Now, remind yourself, now, this guy, he's treating me good. He's helping me pay on my treatment. He's coming to see me. He's supporting me. And I was like, God, and you want me to let him go? Now, mind y'all, my husband, he, you know, he was abusive. You know, and for a whole week, I was very, very disobedient. Because I told him, I said, you know, I want to do what God got for me. I want to be obedient. I said, it's better to be obedient than to sacrifice. I said, I'm going to have to let you go. I said, I love you, but you're going to have to go to see what your marriage works. And he thought I had got into treatment with one of those guys. And I told him it wasn't even about no guy. It was about what God wanted me to do. I hadn't seen him in 4 weeks, and I began to holler out to God. You know, I had went ahead and filed for my divorce. My husband had came to treatment to see me. And at that time, I told him, God had told me I had to forgive him. I didn't want to forgive him because he had hurt me. You know, he had did all these things to me. God said, you have to forgive him. And he went to scripture, you know, well, how should he forgive me for the things that I've done if I'm not willing to forgive others, you know. God was just leading and guiding me the whole time. And I told him, I said, you know, but I forgive you. I said, I forgive you for everything you've done for me. At that point, I knew that, and I felt so much better. It was like a weight had lifted off my shoulders. And I went and we got a divorce. I prayed about it for a long time, 2 weeks while I was in treatment, because I didn't know if I wanted to, you know, was I supposed to divorce? Because, you know, they say when you marry and all that, you know, to show me. And I divorced him. We divorced. But he was still doing what he's doing. You know, he's still doing what he's doing today. But, you know, and so at that point, after I had got that divorce when I was in treatment, and remember, I'm still going to meetings, I'm working, you know, so then by this time, that Sunday, I hadn't seen the man that I was really in love with. I mean, that, you know, and I cried out to the Lord on the altar because I was in a faith-based program. And as I cried out to the Lord, I was like, God, you gave me this man, now he gone. I'm fussing, you know, yeah. And as I got up from the altar, I looked back, and there he was standing back there. And I hugged him, and he was like, what's wrong? Because I was crying out to God, you know. And he told me, he said, I did what you want, what I said I was going to do. I went to see what my marriage worked. He said, I said, God spoke to me and said, if I stayed in this marriage, I was going to drink. He said, if I drink, I'm going to get high. He said, because I'm dual addicted. He said, I'm going to do right by her, and I'm going to do right by you. Now, I'm still in treatment. I'm still going. I'm going to see my parole officer because now he done made me start coming every week because he felt like when March came that I wasn't going to turn myself in. So at this time, my friend guy had got us a house. We got our first house, and I was getting ready to leave treatment. And I went that morning, that Tuesday morning, my parole officer told me, he said, well, turn yourself in. So I went and my friend was like, don't turn yourself in, you know. And I was like, I'm going to turn myself in. The reason why he didn't want me to turn myself in because they had made a mistake on my judgment papers. 3 years with 2 suspended. They just gave me 3 years. So we had kept going back and forth to the courts. And they told the parole officer and his supervisor to lock me up. Now, remembering, this lady already told me that I'm going to go through something but just trust God. So I'm still remembering what she told me. You know, and I'm in recovery, and recovery teaches us to do the right next thing, the right next thing, the right next thing. So then, you know, so that morning we had just got this house, and he was like, you know, they already told him don't lock you up. But at that point, I began to do something, sister Billy. I began to trust in God.
something that I had never did, you know. I be at that moment, you know, and I told him, I began to love, you know, love my kids and my mother. Now, I had been paroled to my mother's house. And you know what? For some reason, like I told, and I told my friend, God, I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to trust God. I said, you know what? I don't want those folks to come to my parents' house. My dad had already been through so much. They would have kicked in the doors and came looking for me. And I said, I'm going to trust God. I said, it's just something about trusting God. I said, he done brought me this. I'm going to trust God. No matter what, I'm going to trust God. So I went, you know, and I turned myself in. And even though I had the paperwork telling him don't lock me up, he still locked me up. I gave my friend guy all my stuff, and I told him, I said, just continue to go to the court. When you go to this program, it's a 62-day program. Now, it was a blessing now when God had delivered me. Now, you know, I'm going to see how he just continued to kick me when I was, you know, when, you know, it's just something. Anyway, as I began to go down into this place, I had told them and showed them my paperwork. Now, this lady told me this is 62 days and you won't leave until 62 days. Okay. Get down there in prison again the second time. Technical violators program. I began to minister to this sister that was down there. And I had, you know, and I had, you know, I was sharing with her, you know, my testimony. You know, she had been battling with drugs, you know, and everything. And it was just so much, you know. And at that time, I began to cry out that Tuesday morning to God. I was like, God, why am I here? God, you know, the people, you know, but I began to trust him. And as I was crying out, the counselor came and got me. And he began to ask me what was wrong with me. You know, I just began to cry out. You know, like Paul then was doing in the prison, how he was crying out. And I began to cry out to God again. I began to cry out to God again. And as I began in the office, it was a phone call. And the counselor, he answered the phone. He said, we're sitting here right now. And he was talking, but when he got off the phone, he said, I don't know who you know. He said, because it's no one that comes there. Everybody comes down here to do 62 days. He said, the DA and your parole officer and a supervisor is on their way to get you right now. He said, pack up your stuff.
Mm.
I began to holler, hallelujah. Now, remind yourself, this is a 62-day program. When you leave, you got to do 62 days. I packed my stuff up and I left, and I was like, God, what am I getting out of this lesson? You know, because I know in everything that I go through is something to strengthen me or to, you know, or something he wants me to do. I've learned that. And as I got out of prison, you know, I went to my parents' house. I had, you know, me and my boyfriend, we had a house. But I went to my parents' house and I told him I had made a home. When I came back, he had gotten divorced. So now, you know, we're there. And as the girl got out, I gave her my number. I told her to call me. And she got into treatment. She's doing really well today. And so my friend, he's my boyfriend now. And so then he told me that he loved me and he proposed to me. Now, you know, I'm questioning God. Now, I just don't know. You know, I want to do everything decent and I don't want to get out of your will right now, God. You know, everything was just going fine. I began to go back to the treatment. I began to give back. And I got blessed with a job there. You know, working with the ladies. And, you know, God, he was still talking to me. He was speaking to me. He said he brought me out so I can go back. And I didn't understand that. I was like, go back and tell them what he has done for me. Now, remind yourself, I had one job. For 18 years, I've been out there smoking crack cocaine, doing all those things. Never worked before except when I had Wendy's. I lost that job because they sent me to prison. So when I got out, I mean, God was just doing things, and he's continued to do things in my life. And I just look up and I be like, wow, wow, wow. Now, remember, my mom them didn't raise my children. But they told me, I'm going to give them back to you. I just want to shout right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I just really do right now just because these kids that I never raised, never been there for, but my parents, they was willing to give them back to me. And my mom told me, she said, "You okay now? God got you." You know, and I began to glow. My mama said, "You can handle them." And, you know, my kids lost their father 4 years ago. You know, he was helping a lady change her tire. A guy came by, ran them over, and you know, he died. And, you know, the kids, and, you know, they've been dealing with that. But, you know, God is a restorer. He gave me my children back, you know, and I love them so much, and they love me. And not only that, you know, this time when I got in church, you know, I was still going to my mother's church. But when I had got engaged, you know, God was speaking to me. He said that I had to follow my husband as he followed him. And I was like, wow. You know, so now I'm going to get over into, you know, my husband, you know, St. Mark is a big church. And I didn't know, you know, I was like, you know, I've been just going to a Pentecostal church all my life. And I was like, ooh, this was a trial for me, you know. We got married at the same patch that that I went through treatment, Reverend Rem Robinson married us in 2011. And we got married. I joined St. Mark. I'm in a ministry, Caleb, Conquering Addictions, Living Every Day Blessed. I mean, God, he just keep doing things. I mean, this has been a children's journey. And not only that, I just want to say this too. Me and my mom talked about 2 years ago. And, you know, remember that talk that me and her had when I was looking up in that mirror and I had all those bandages on my face? And she told me that I was going to have a husband, that he was going to love God first and he was going to love me and love my children. Today I have that. I'm just so excited. He loves me. First of all, he loves God. He loves me. And he loves the children. And now, all the time, you know, I'm trying to go through treatment. You know, my mom was always saying, "You need to get your stuff together. You know, you need to get your life together." And I told her, nobody going to want me, because when they found out all those things that I had done and all those people I hung out with, they weren't going to want me because, you know, I had laid down with a lot of men, you know. But the man that I'm married to today, he looks at me, he tells me how beautiful I am, how much he loves me. And the thing about it is, he knew everything I did because he was out there with me. God saved him, then saved me, and now he's my husband today. You know, and God, I mean, I'm like, wow. You know, here I am trying to figure it out, and God had already had it worked out. You know, and now, you know, and I began, you know, I was working with the ladies, and I was doing so well. Now I am a counselor over the women, helping ladies. Help them with their treatment plan, their treatment goals. God has elevated me. I went into a position not knowing that I was going to get it, and God had favor, had it right there waiting for me. And, you know, and out of everything that I have went through, my biggest thing when I come into that treatment facility and I see those women that's broken, that's down, and I can give them a word of encouragement. And, you know, sometimes I see some of the ones that I was out there with, and they look at me and they say, "If you can get clean and sober, I know I can too." I said, "You sure can." I said, "Because God ain't no respected person. He not going to do no more for me than he going to do for you." You know, and then a lot of them tell me, they said, "Well, how are we overcomers?" I said, "We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by our testimonies." Yes, you know, and so. I mean, God is just so awesome. You know, God, this is my first year. Me and my husband has bought our home. So God has blessed us to purchase a home. God has blessed me with a new car. I mean, and it's not even about those material things. It's about being able to get up in the morning and just say, "Thank you, Lord, for another day."
Yes,
you know, and as I begin to listen to you this morning, when you say, "This is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it." That's something I used to tell the ladies every night when I was working overnight. Because, you know, in the morning when I get up, I would get up in the morning, I would tell them, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." And that says no matter what's going on, I will rejoice and be glad in it. No matter what my circumstance is, no matter what my situation is, I'm going to rejoice in this day. And I'm just so excited about the field that I'm in. You know what? And I knew that I said I wanted to be a nurse when I grew up, but God knew where he wanted me to be. He knew where he wanted to place me. And I thank him for everything that I have went through. Thank him for all of that bad stuff. You know, because that was just a little setback for a major comeback with him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just so excited just to be able to have my sanity, that peace that surpasses all understanding. I have that today, Sister Billy. God has truly been good to me. You know, and that song that says, I won't complain. I won't complain. I don't have nothing to complain about. My dad is still here. He's still going through. But him and my mom celebrated 45 years on the 18th of January. And I've been married 3 years, going on four. It has been truly a blessing. And God just keep doing things every day, every day. I have been through some rough times since I've been clean and sober. I've had some bad doctor reports. But you know what? I trust God, and he continues to restore me. You know, and it just lets me know, you know, I'm still going to have trials and tribulations over here.
Yeah.
But I don't have to worry about using drugs today, because everything that I need is in the name of Jesus. Yes, everything that I was looking for back then, if that was my spirit, it was longing for Christ. It was longing to be, you know. I'm just so grateful this morning, too, just giving my testimony, because you know what? It just reminded me how he just kept me. Yes. And I want to say this, too. You know, I had ran into one of the ladies that I was with out there in the world, you know. Back then, you know, it was a guy in this car. You know, he was ill. You know, he was roaming. And I went up to the car. She went up to the car. She said, he wants you. I said, no, you can go ahead. Come to find out a couple of days later, found out she had been shot in the head. Second year in recovery, I saw her in Kroger's, and I gave her a hug, and she gave me a hug. And she said, and I was like, I heard what happened, because I had saw, you know, what had happened, because she didn't have no hair. And, you know, and I hugged her, and I told her that I loved her, you know, and I began to tell her about Jesus. I began to tell her about how I changed my life around, you know. I was giving her, you know, and she told me, she said, don't you know that man that I got in that car with? He did this to me. He got mad because it wasn't you. Hallelujah. See, the enemy had a trap waiting on me.
Yes, Lord.
See, that bullet she took, it was supposed to be meant for me. But God blocked it. Even in my mess, I think about how he was keeping me. Even when I got into situations and I didn't know how I was going to get out, he was keeping me. You know, and I remember the times when I was walking up and down 12th Street and I was feeling so lonely and I thought I was all by myself and he was carrying me. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just so grateful to tell the world about it. Ooh, because see, I'm a sinner saved by grace. You know, and I have been reborn again. I am a reborn again Christian, you know. And I behold, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new today. Today I'm new in Christ.
Yes, Lord.
You know, and he done put up a sign that says, no Christian. Can't nobody go digging up my past. But my past is my past. It's my greatest asset. Because it reminds me how faithful God is. Because had I never been through nothing, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. And I'm just excited about what God is going to do in my life today. You know, I'm going to work, and I'm just going to let God use me. And I'm just so grateful to be able to just give my testimony. And I just hope that something was said, that somebody would be running and say, what must I do to be saved? Because it's all about winning souls for Christ.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Well, whew. I'm telling you, I know that God can do it. And
yes.
we read Bible stories, and we see the miraculous things that God did back in those days. But to hear this story today, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
What a mighty God we serve. A mighty God we serve. Hallelujah.
Yes,
thank
Lord.
You, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Murdoch, for sharing your story with us today. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nobody. And he loves us to the point where he will. Even as you were saying, as you were going through, and the woman told you that you were going to go through, and that you were going to go through, but God was going to be there for you to trust God, and that your mom put that in you, your mom and your dad put that in you, they put that in you, and I just thank God. Babe, did you want to say something? I see we have a caller on. Oh, my husband took his mic off, but I have a caller. Hold on. I have a caller, and your last four is 5054. Would you like to say something? Would you like to ask a question or give a testimony?
Yeah, I do want to say something. I want to thank the beautiful sister that just gave her testimony, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much. You don't know how your testimony has affected the world, so I do want to thank you because real recognize real.
You are so welcome.
That's why we're here. That's why we're here. That's why we're here, so that we can hear what God is doing and people can be encouraged. I said we're winning souls. We're winning not necessarily souls because most of the people that call in, they are saved, but we're inspiring and we're encouraging. And if you're not encouraged, you may not have gone through what Sister Murdoch went through, but just hearing her story and seeing how God delivered her and how God is using her and how her faith has been built up in God, that's why we're here. That's why we're here, Sister Murdoch. Sure. And I thank you so much for coming on and giving this awesome testimony. Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't get your name. Can you give me your name, caller?
Yes, ma'am. My name is Alameen, but what I wanted to say was her testimony is the valid story of the fall and the rise of a black woman.
Ooh,
because when that black woman rise back up, she rise back up with all power that comes from the Most High. So trust me, you have been through what you went through for a reason. Because it's a lot of us who are out here still addicted that need you. So
yes.
God made you and equipped you for the journey.
Yes.
And he equipped you for the journey and put you exactly where you're supposed to be at to help those who are also in the world addicted and strung out too.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
So, yes.
Thank you, Lord.
He has a place for you. So take that with a stride, and like you, God got you. God got you. I mean, the only prayer that I want to pray is, Heavenly Father, I just come to you and say thank you. In your holy name I pray. In your precious name I pray, Father. Thank you. And that's what I want to say to all of us. Let's just thank God for what he's doing for us. If that's all you got to say to God, just say thank you.
Yes. Yes. Now, okay, give me your name again.
Alameen.
Oh, spell that for me.
Alamin.
Alameen. Okay, thank you so much for calling in and reminding us that we no matter what we're going through, we ought to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, because since last year I've been I went through something year before last that was so traumatic to me. And even though I was trusting God, I was still very fearful about the situation. So last year I proclaimed that God is in control. Whatever happens, God is in control.
Yes.
And that's my motto. God is in control. When it looks bad, God is in control. When it looks good, God is in control. When you can't see your way, hallelujah, like you were, Sister Marnar, God is in control. He's in control, and He loves us, and He's not gonna allow us to fall if we trust in Him. If we trust in Him. So thank you, Alameen, for calling in.
Yes.
And Sister Marnar, you were trying to say something. You said that you were trying to say something.
I just wanted to say thank you for that prayer, and thank you. Just thank you, and thank you for listening. God is able. I just know God is able. He's able.
Yes, he is. And willing. He's not just able, He's willing. He's willing to do whatever we need for Him to do. And it's a slap in the enemy's face. You're a slap. You're a pimp slap in the enemy's face because he thought he had you. He thought he had all of us. And God rescued us. Hallelujah. He rescued us. Hallelujah. I don't care if my story is not your story, but He still rescued me. Hallelujah. So
yes,
I just thank God. Oh, I am so blessed. I didn't know if I was going to be able to do the broadcast this morning because I was so sick yesterday. I don't know what was happening, but I think I slept all day and into the night. My back started hurting from being in the bed all day. So I was just in a bad way yesterday, but thank God for God's healing power and quoting scriptures. I'm like you, Sister Murdoch. I start quoting those scriptures. You know, by His stripes I was healed, and, you know, no weapon. I just started quoting those scriptures, and, you know, it's just a blessing. Babe, did you want to say something?
Just amen to everything that I've heard today. As I was listening to the testimony, which is such a blessing to just hear, often we just don't have time to just give the blow by blow of how God has just delivered someone. And we get a chance to do that on this broadcast, and I thank God for that. And I just think about even at the church that we attend now, that part of the mission statement is that we're about pointing people to Jesus and telling that story. And the fact that it's going across the airways, throughout cyberspace, throughout this whole globe, throughout this planet, that's just opportunities, and people are being pointed to Jesus because you're telling just of the goodness of Jesus, not giving Satan any glory, but just how God just helped you or just caused you. Because He doesn't just help us. We talk about God helping us, but the Bible says He causes us to triumph. So He's the one, and we just thank God for that testimony and that people are pointed to Jesus through the hearing of those words.
Amen. Well, we have come to the end of the broadcast, and again, thank you, Sister Murdoch, for giving your testimony and share the broadcast. Brother Alameen, share the broadcast with other people. No testimony is too small, and no testimony is too big. And like my husband was just saying, we give you the opportunity to tell your story from beginning to end. But this is not the end. God has more for you, Sister Murdoch. And Brother Alameen, we just, you know, we thank God for you joining us this morning. And I just want to give a little commercial. We are under the umbrella of New Destiny Ministries with Evangelist Adrienne Bernard, and she comes on Tuesday through Thursday on this same number, 858-683-1334, 1 o'clock Pacific time, 3 o'clock Central time, and 4 o'clock Eastern time. So tune in. She has men and women of God that are preaching the word of God. They're giving prophecy and, you know, just doing some things on there. So if you get a chance, listen in to New Destiny Ministry, a time of reflection. And always, we're here every Saturday at 8 o'clock Eastern time, 7 o'clock Central time, and 5 o'clock Pacific time. Every Saturday, we're here. So join us. And, Brother, how did you hear about us? Brother Alameen.
Yeah, I listen in sometimes.
Okay.
When I'm off, I have an opportunity to listen in. But I heard a testimony this morning, and I had to just call because it was just it was put on my heart to say that you are the light that's called out of darkness, and not to all of us, we are the light that was called out of darkness. And you remember in the beginning, God called the light out of darkness, so it was already written way before coming into the earth that we would have to be called out of darkness anyhow. And I just love hearing testimonies of people being taken out of darkness and becoming the light of the world.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, thank you again, brother, for joining us. And like I said, share the broadcast. We're open. We want to be a light. We want the world to know what our God is doing for us and using us and saving and rescuing people all over the world. And
you,
Sister Murdoch, we're going to ask you to end us in prayer. Thank you for, again, joining us and sharing your testimony with us. And Sister Murdoch, I don't know her. She actually was, her name was given to me by, I can't even remember who gave me her name, but I just thank God for one of the sisters that I talked to the same time that I talked with you, and she said it was a divine connection. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So I thank God for this divine connection this morning.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, Sister Murder, could you close us in prayer?
Yes. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come to you this morning, humble as we know how, Father God, just thanking you. Thanking you for everything you've done, everything you're doing, and everything you're about to do, Father God, in our lives, throughout our lives, Father God. We thank you for your darling son, Jesus, who shed his blood, because his blood is able.
Father,
his blood is able.
Yes.
To cover a multitude of sin, Father God.
Yes.
And we thank you for your son, Father God. Father God, I'm just praying for everyone, Father God, every individual, everyone out there in the world, of the world, Father God, that your
That's
will
right.
be done in their life, Father God.
Yes.
Father God, help them to know that you are the truth, the way, and the life, Father God.
Yes.
Father
yes.
God, that we have to look to you, Father God, for everything, Father God. Father
yes.
God, I just pray that something was said, that someone would be running to say, what must I do to be saved, Father God?
Yes, Lord.
Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for Miss Billy. We thank you for her husband. We thank you for Brother Leah. We thank you for everything, Father God. We thank you. We know that everything is made of you, Father God. And all these things that we ask in your darling son Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you and have a blessed day, both of you. And
Thank you. Until next
week, you're so welcome. Thank you. Thank you. We just want to pray down. Amen.
All right.
I love you.